This is One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
All right, welcome to a Tuesday edition of One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. What the heck happened to fall? I don't know what the heck's going on around here. 40 degrees. This is like November weather. We're getting in October. It's a bunch of hooey, Steve, and I'm tired of it already. I don't even pull my gloves and wool hats out yet. It's not even hat-wearing weather or hat-wearing time of the year. And yeah. I'm going to have to start pulling out my hats. Come on. Don't we get at least a couple of weeks in October?
I realize
after Halloween all bets are off, but this is
it's
a bunch
October
of bull.
October 18th. We're in the third week of October.
It's a bunch of bull. Come on.
This isn't bad. It's going to get nice again.
It's raining.
It's going to get nice at the end
Southern
of the week.
Southern Tier is supposed to get snow.
The bye weekend is going to be perfect for Bills fans. Perfect, I'm telling you. Here in Western New York, it's going to be nice. Yeah. So just hunker down, have a little chili, get under your electric blanket, turn the TV on, just get through it.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
I was eagerly anticipating Game 5 for Yankees-Guardians last night, and the dang thing gets
right.
Rained out.
I kept switching back to the channel, and it was the game show.
Oh, the Cube, I think it's
yeah,
called,
yeah, the
with
Cube.
Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade.
That's a dumb show.
Sorry. I didn't stay long, it had the crawl on the bottom, Game 5.
So this was my tier of sports watching yesterday. So yeah, I'm all.
What was your channel?
I'm all
lineup,
amped
right?
to yeah. watch the baseball game.
I'll say this: I was going to drop by the baseball game, but I wasn't amped. By
and it
any
was
stretch.
In a rain delay.
Yeah.
Because they said delayed, not postponed yet. It
right.
was delayed.
Exactly.
So now
for hours it was delayed.
Now I'm on the hook, so I'm checking back. You know, what do we got? Nothing. And then Monday Night Football is Chargers Broncos.
Which was it's a little bit of a snooze.
Holy crow. The primetime games the last 2 weeks have been an abomination of football.
I'll say this, though. Early on, it looked like, okay, Russ kind of snapped out of it. He's doing good. Had like 100 and some yards passing in the first quarter, and, you know, he's playing well. And then all of a sudden, the Chargers defense just turned it up a notch, and they couldn't do anything. The rest of the game, it was rough, man.
I thought Troy Aikman's assessment, and Troy Aikman usually doesn't say anything that makes you sit up in your chair. You know, he's pretty flat line as an analyst.
He's emotionless, which is.
Last night was some of the most. I mean, from him, I was surprised to hear it, but he's sitting there watching the entire field. He knows what he's looking at, obviously. We're kind of beholden to the camera angle. So we're not seeing the coverages. We're not seeing,
right. You
know, our Broncos receivers getting open and Russ just doesn't see them, whatever. He said last night the receivers on this Broncos offense cannot get open. The details are not followed in the protection assignments. He said, I mean, he basically hung the Broncos offense – in totality, out to dry yesterday. And you know what? He's probably right.
Yeah.
You got top of the line receivers there.
Jerry
they can't
Judy.
Get open.
Nobody's getting open.
You got a quarterback who looks a little more doughy than he used to in his younger days. I don't think Russ can move around like he used to. Now he's come up with his second injury excuse in as many weeks. Now it's a hamstring after it was his latissimus dorsi muscle in his back last week. You know, as to why he played lousy. His offensive line, the only thing they're good at doing is getting out of the defensive line's way. They can't block in the run game. The only reason Nate Hackett still has a job is because they got another game in 5 days. When's the Denver bye week? Let's look that up. Because I'm telling you right now, Nate Hackett is on thin ice.
Well, I can tell you when their bye week is pretty quick here. Hold on. It was ugly, really ugly.
And week 9, he might not make it. He might not get to week.
He
nine.
Might not. He might
they
not.
They scored one offensive touchdown in the last 2 weeks.
They've got two games before their byes. They play the Jets on Thursday, on October, in 5 days, which is.
They are the lowest scoring team in football. They are scoring fewer points than the Commanders, What? They're scoring less than the Steelers? They're scoring less than the Bears. Steve.
That's bad.
With Russell Wilson as your quarterback.
Their defense is lights
out.
What
the hell has happened to them?
Their defense is playing lights out. They're everywhere.
Their defense is great.
Now, I know.
I like their defense.
The Chargers didn't have Keenan Allen, so they didn't have some of their guys. But I'm telling you what, the Denver defense was getting it last night. They were really good. And you're sitting there thinking, you know what? This is, and I told you this today, this is like the 2010, 2011, 2012 Bills with EJ.
You got a defense that can actually stop
with EJ. They can stop everybody. Yeah. They're getting after the passer. They're covering people up in the back end, and they just can't score points. And you got a coach, and we can go on and on about Nate Hackett.
What?
He was here. He was here, by the way, during those teams with EJ.
2013.
So we talked about how we were a little surprised, very surprised. Nathaniel Hackett got hired as a Denver Broncos head coach. At the time, it looked like a ploy by the then ownership of the Denver Broncos to lure Aaron Rodgers out of Green Bay because there was a chance that Aaron wanted out. He wanted a new change of scenery, yada, 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 do what Peyton Manning did, go to Denver, win a championship. They got a great defense. He'll come in, be everything they need on offense, and they'll win the championship. Didn't happen, but that's why Denver hired a guy like Nathaniel Hackett. Not quite, in our opinion, I guess I'm speaking for you and I've talked, we didn't think Nate Hackett was cut out to be a head coach.
Yeah, I was wondering.
So we thought it was probably some altruistic, I don't know if that's the right word.
Altruistic?
I don't know if that's even the right word. Some underlying motivations for getting Nate Hackett.
Ulterior motivation.
Even though he was not the guy, you thought you might get the quarterback.
Rodgers.
First, and, you know, make the decision then. Nate Hackett's out of his depth. That team is struggling. And I think it's because there's a vacuum at the top of leadership.
They just cannot get out of their own way. And this is the thing. It's like, it's one you referenced the 2011-2012 Bills. At receiver for the 2011-2012 Bills, you had Stevie Johnson, who was a seventh-round draft choice. Good player. You know, played well.
Different type of player, but yeah.
Different type of player. You had, like, Roscoe Parrish. Mm. I'm trying to run down the list in my head. In any event, the point I'm trying to make is Denver has a second-round pick in Cortland Sutton, a second-round pick in K.J. Hamler, and a first-round pick in Jerry Jeudy. Those are their top three receivers, and they can't get open.
They got some traits.
They can't get open.
Yeah. Yeah. And Russ
and you
Wilson,
have a Super Bowl-winning quarterback who cost you $245 million in three first-round picks.
And you can't move the ball. There was a time last night. Both they were trading punts in overtime. They couldn't get a first down in overtime. It is the exact opposite of what happened with the Bills Chiefs in overtime back in January. At the end of that game, neither team could get a first down when all they needed was a field goal to win it.
Yeah.
It was an atrocity at the end of that game. They got colder and colder as the game went on, not hotter and hotter.
Yeah. It's like that game you used to play with your brothers or sisters or your friends. When you're looking for something, you're getting colder.
You're getting colder.
Oh, you're warm now. You're getting warmer. They were not getting warmer at any point in time.
They were walking in the wrong direction. And it was awful. You're getting all these primetime games that all just stink.
Yeah. So you know what I ended up doing? So getting back to the
TV lineup.
So
instead of watching the Yankees.
Baseball was first. It's rain delay. Okay. I begrudgingly go to the football game. It's an atrocity.
Chargers, Broncos.
I hang in for a little while, and then I just got to bail. I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. I just started watching the Derek Jeter series on ESPN+. I was watching The Captain because I was trying to finish those. I watched two of them, and I went back to the game. I said, no one scored a touchdown for the hour. I was gone.
There was like, yeah.
Justin Herbert did not throw a touchdown pass yesterday.
First time in 30 games.
He was at the top of the league in touchdown passes last year. What the hell's going on there? Their ineptitude is only shrouded by the block out the sun ineptitude of the Denver offense.
Maybe it's just me, but I think Bills fans have this idea too. the Chargers got some guys. Now, Bosa's hurt, as he always is.
So is Keenan Allen.
Right, Keenan Allen's hurt.
He's been out since week one.
But they got this guy, maybe you've heard of him, J.C. Jackson, who they brought in as a big-time free agent corner.
Yeah, made him one of the highest-paid cornerbacks in football.
Highest-paid cornerback in football. This is the same guy that Stephon Diggs
undressed.
On
multiple
left
occasions.
Him naked every game they played.
Yeah, the three times he played him, yeah. The
last stole time. His lunch money and bought candy with it. This is the guy that was you, shut up.
Yeah.
That's the guy. That's that J.C. Jackson. And he's making a ton of pile of cash for LA.
And I got news for you. He's not even playing as good as that J.C. Jackson was.
He's their worst corner.
Now, in his defense, he did have an ankle scope at the beginning of the year, and he missed, I want to say, the first two games, and then kind of is working his way back into the lineup. So maybe he's not 100%, but the guy is not fitting the bill. He's not fitting the bill.
Let me say this. I'll say that, and there's no love loss here for the New England Patriots or Bill Belichick and all those guys and what they do, but I'll say this. They know things. When they let a guy like J.C. Jackson walk because they don't want to pay him, this is the same organization, the Patriots, who paid Steph Gilmore, who came in was a defensive player of the year. It's the same organization who paid Darrell Revis Island. They paid him, and he got him a championship, both those guys. So they know what they need, and they know what they want in a corner. And if they've got a guy like that, they don't let him leave. They pay him. They let him walk. And I think maybe what convinced him was the Bills going in there and absolutely spinning him like a top.
Yeah.
But he lands and he's on the field last night, and you think, well, go with that guy.
Yeah, problem is Denver can't go with anybody.
They couldn't find him. They couldn't get him. They couldn't match up with him. Guys are – it's funny. You know how it is on the broadcast? You see Justin Herbert run – or I'm sorry. You see Russ Wilson running around back there, and he tries to throw, and he throws it, and you go out there, and they pan out. They show you the wide angle. Every Denver receiver is standing right next to a Chargers defender. I mean, they're like hugging. They're like
talking at the water cooler.
Yeah. There's like nobody like breaking into the open. There's nobody out there going, oh, he missed me. He didn't see me. Oh, gosh.
So now let me ask you this. Now let me ask you this. And this might be a far-fetched theory. Did Russell Wilson, in his arrival in Denver, handle it in the worst possible way to the point that his own teammates are failing him on purpose to make him look awful?
On purpose might be a strong word. They may believe he's not the guy, and by not having belief look like they look. Mm. You know what I'm saying? They're not bailing on him, but they're certainly not sold out for him like these guys seem to be for 17 here in Buffalo.
To me,
or the guys in Kansas City selling out for Pat Mahomes.
To me, it's a foolish approach because he's not going anywhere. Like, they just backed up the Brinks truck for the guy. You got to try to make it work, right? Like,
well,
I don't get it.
That's the thing. It's
like,
it's
you would understand,
question.
Like, if doesn't he look chunky to you? He doesn't even have pads on there. He's not in shape.
He looks heavy.
And he can't run around anymore. Do you remember the Toronto game? Russell Wilson up there against the Bills during the Bills-Toronto series? 50-17? He ran for 3 touchdowns. Yeah. They couldn't catch him. He's 32.
He's not running anywhere now. He's Andrew Siciliano.
He can't move. He looks like a bowling ball back there.
Tom Pelissero just reported on the NFL Network that Russell Wilson's getting an MRI on his hamstring today.
Oh, for God's sake.
Could be a, fairly significant injury. Yeah. He wasn't limping last night.
You want to know why you pulled your hamstring? Because you're
convenient.
Overweight.
It seems convenient after a night like you had last night.
Oh, my
God. You know
he's
what?
Got every single excuse. Oh, it's my
limping.
Back. I can't throw. It's my hamstring. What are we going to put on the injury report next week? A hangnail? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on with this.
He's got a pulled lat muscle in his throwing shoulder.
The only thing that's injured right now is his ego.
Yeah, that may be.
Oh, my gosh.
And then he last night he played the entire game, not a whisper of anything. And then after, and he wasn't limping at all.
Just be better.
And then after the game, it's like, oh, he's got a significant hamstring injury.
Do you know who Russell Wilson reminds me of?
I don't see how that's possible if he's not limping at all.
Guy reminds me of A-Rod. He wants to be loved so badly that he's actually forgetting the important things that get you respect in this league. This guy.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. It is officially, on offense anyway, a tire fire in Denver. It is a tire fire. 32nd in the league in scoring, 30th in the league in first downs, 30th in the league in third down conversion percentage. I am shocked they are not at the bottom of the league. You can thank Carolina and their quarterback mess. At least Carolina has the excuse of, we don't have anybody. And we just fired our coach. So we're allowed to suck. I don't know what Denver's excuse is because, holy mackerel, it is bad. I think they have the fewest red zone possessions in football. Like, they can't even get to the 20-yard line of the opponent.
They're 30th in the league in third down. Oof. Yeah, they're 32nd
it's
in goal.
It's so bad.
Goal to go percentages, they're 30th in the league. And goal to go, which doesn't happen all that much. They're averaging 15 points a game. Oof.
I mean, you can't win like that. You just can't. Not in this league. It's an abomination of offense. It really is. It's bad.
You turn around and you watch these games. Because we're like other Bills fans. You also, you're kind of a fan of the league as well. So you watch these Monday night games. You watch the Thursday night games, even when the Bills aren't playing, and the Sunday games at 1 when your team's playing at 4 like we did on Sunday night. And you just, every time you watch, it's like, we don't look like that. And for most old people like us, it's like, I remember when we did. And I remember kind of the problems we had. And then you look at these guys, and it's like, it's so unnerving. Not unnerving, but I see Denver, and I understand where they're at. You know what I mean? I just understand. They went out and got this guy who they think is the guy. You know what it's like? It's like Rob Johnson. Remember they paid him like $25 million bucks? Everybody's like, oh, my gosh, they got their guy. He's the guy. And it's not the guy.
He's just not.
It's just not the guy. That's so frustrating as a fan. You think, well, finally, we've been looking for this guy forever. We got these guys.
A can't miss.
We got that problem solved. Finally, now we can move forward as an organization. And all of a sudden you tee it up, and it's like, he's not the guy. Oh, my gosh. Denver fans just must be looking at each other going, seriously.
Oh my gosh! I'm looking up the trade terms again.
How about the new owners? They keep showing them in the box.
Oh,
they got to be going. Wait a minute. Wait, the guy's got to be going. He's got to be going. Whoa! Like, so that's number three down there. That's the guy. I'm paying him how much? Guaranteed.
Here's the worst part. Here's the worst part, Steve. What you gave up to get him puts you in no position to refortify your roster with anything in the first or second round.
You gave up
your first round pick next year, your second round pick next year, and your fifth round pick next year. So all you got is a 3 and a 4. You also gave up your first round pick in 2023 and your second round pick in 2023. So you don't have any picks in the first two rounds each of the next 2 years for that guy.
You just use the biggest shovel possible to dig your organization into the biggest hole they could find and paid top dollar to do it.
They paid money
to dig
to
themselves
put themselves
that
in
hole.
This position. It's fascinating. It is fascinating.
We lived it for a while. I mean, I get it. The Rob Johnson thing, okay, I get it.
They didn't give up that many picks, though.
Right, exactly.
Five picks.
They're going to be thinking about this. This is like, it's kind of like, and not to that extent, but it's like a Bobby Bonilla kind of thing. You're going to be thinking about this thing for 3 years. And for a while.
Because you can't fix it
You're
going to
be
years.
Looking at him for 3 years
yeah,
for
you
the
can't
first
fix
part.
It.
And when the draft comes around and says, okay, who we got? That guy was available. That guy, look, that's what will happen. In the pick that you would have gotten, in the draft. You're going to say, we could get that guy right there, but instead we're looking at this guy taking snaps. That's when it comes to roost.
It comes home to roost. It is absolutely horrendous.
You're sitting there going, we could have gotten that guy right there. It's all those people that could have said, you know, like the Jets, the Browns, all those teams going, we picked Baker or Sam Darnold, and we could have had that guy right there that's playing in Buffalo. They're all those teams.
Other AFC West news, the Chiefs have restructured some of Travis Kelce's.
Including the Broncos.
Yeah. The Chiefs have restructured some of Travis Kelce's salary into bonus to save $3.5 million on the cap. They had been, according to reports, at only about $500K under the cap, needed some space the rest of the way, I would assume, for a roster emergency. Like if they suffer a rash of injuries at a position, naturally some people are speculating. They're trying to put themselves in the Odell Beckham sweepstakes for whenever he's healthy, presumably mid-November. I'm not convinced that that's the case. I mean, it's not like their offense is struggling. You know, so
from it,
I wouldn't rule it out, but I don't know. I don't see them doing that, but we can debate that if you want. Not surprisingly, CBS, which aired Bills Chiefs last Sunday in the 425 nationwide window, got the most watched NFL on CBS week 6 game in 15 years, over 25 million viewers for the Bills-Chiefs game on Sunday. So that's the largest viewership in 15 years for a Week 6 game for CBS, which just shows you why everybody believes Bills-Chiefs are top tier in the AFC.
Yeah, the power rankings have got the Philadelphia Eagles sprinkled in amongst the Chiefs and Bills.
I saw one that had the Eagles at the top because they are, to their credit, they're undefeated.
They're undefeated. And they're playing in a division that all of a sudden doesn't look so bad with Dallas and the Eagles playing as well as they are. And the Giants, too, don't forget. So, yeah. The Eagles deserve to be in there, I think.
Yeah.
But
they're killing it. They're leading the league in takeaways. They're like a plus 12. On the turnover margin.
That's the stat.
That'll come back down to earth, you would assume. They can't be that careful with the football.
Somebody's going
to
stop
long.
Turning it over when they play them and giving them chances.
Well, yeah, and the law of averages, they're going to cough up some balls too, I would think.
Right. But the Eagle, like we said yesterday, Jordan Palmer, the guy who tutors Josh, and he works with Mahomes as well, I guess, too. He said, this is Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes' league right now.
Yeah.
And those are the two guys. Jalen Hurts is playing really well for Philly.
He has 6 passing touchdowns this year.
Josh got 17 passing
touchdowns.
Now,
he runs for a bunch.
Josh ran for 2 is all this year.
Yeah.
So that's going down. It's going like this for Josh, which maybe it'll do that for Hurts at some point as well.
Maybe.
You and I were sitting there as well, and one of the things that happened this last weekend was Devin Singletary had a little bit of a game. Particularly in the first half when they were handing it off to him. And you and I saw Baldy break down some of the Bills blocking
schemes. That
was a nice
job that he did.
I got to tell you, after watching that, one of the things that Bills fans might want to watch occasionally now is watch Mitch Morse work in the run game. They did a couple of plays with Mitch Morse that you just don't do with other centers in the National Football League.
Yeah, he's so mobile.
He gets out in front, runs out in front of Devin Singletary, out in front of Josh on the sweeps. He gets out in front. They also use him on counter plays that are one-of-a-kind plays where he does footwork and movement that no other center in the league is asked to do, in my opinion.
He is the number one move lineman on Buffalo's line.
Yeah, this
because last week.
Yeah, this highlight right here we're watching right now.
He pirouetted.
Is the play I'm talking about. He took a step to his right, he snaps the ball, shuffles to his right, and then turns back around towards Josh.
He pirouettes.
And then takes off around the left edge in front of a pitch.
And blocks a corner to
unbelievable athleticism for a big guy, particularly a center who's got to make the line calls, then snap the ball, and then do all of that. Just a fantastic, fantastic display. The offensive line played really well against the Kansas City Chiefs.
It was their
best
game.
It was, and in fact,
and Coach said it after, it was the best game of the year by their offense and defensive line.
And it was also a game in which the Chiefs really gave him some problems. They were struggling to protect Josh up front because of the pressure. They were sending too many.
Yeah, the different looks.
They had different looks. And finally, you know, when they did, which is the best scenario possible, when the line finally does, you know, block it up and they get a hat on a hat, it's a touchdown. Yeah. You know, Josh hits Davis on the right side, and then later on he hits Diggs on the right side on the same exact look. So they got him out of that pressure, and a lot of it had to do with the offensive line getting it together and shoring it up. And for a while, they were sending too many guys for him to block.
But Mitch Morris was a big part of their pin and pull concepts last year. He's a big part of being a primary pulling lineman this year. I mean, whether it's the sweep out to the right on the Josh Hurdle play, Mitch Morris is out there in front. Whether it's Devin Singletary on the play we just watched with our MSG viewers, it's Mitch Morris that's out there. He is their primary move guy, which isn't an easy thing coming from the middle of the formation, right. You know, getting out on the edges like that.
Right.
He is really good at that. So, yeah, I'll tip my hat to him. No problem there at all. Topic on the table today. We're entering the Bills bye week. What have we learned about the Bills through the first 6 weeks of the season? You let us know at 803-0551, 888-550-2550, or on the tweet sheet at One Bills Live. Let's go to the phones, and we lead off with Mark in Tonawanda. What do you got for us, Mark?
Hey, guys. Man, you guys are fired up about the Denver Broncos today. Holy cow, I hate that whole franchise right now because of you guys.
They are awful. I can't even watch them.
But, hey, I wanted to bring up I think if we were to be critical of the Bills and what a win on Sunday – is the play of Isaiah McKenzie. I think that they jumped the gun and give him the keys to that Cole Beasley. And yes, Crowder's hurt, but he's not playing up. He had that drop in L.A. that led to that interception and missed that fourth down, that crucial fourth down play. Down the stretch, you know, these plays are going to count. And I don't trust them. And I'm interested to see maybe that's giving Shakir more time in that role and Crowder gets healthy. But I'm interested to see what Brandon Bean does going up to the deadline to kind of maybe address that. But I'm going to have to listen. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, you sure bet. Thing, Mark. I will say this. These are for McKenzie, this is my opinion and my estimation. McKenzie's main asset to this offense is his speed. It's what gets him separation, things of that nature. He's limited in what he can offer this offense. To me, he's not a guy that can line up outside. He's too small a target, and he would fall. It would make for difficult throws for the quarterback, even one as good as Josh Allen.
Right.
I think as we move into the latter stages of the season, it would not surprise me if Khalil Shakir gets more and more time in the slot. I'm not saying he completely takes the job away from Isaiah McKenzie, but it wouldn't surprise me if it happened. We know how this coaching staff works, Steve. They pick everything apart with a fine-tooth comb, and if players earn more time on the field at the expense of somebody else that maybe not be pulling as much weight as he has in recent weeks, they will not hesitate to make a change.
Oh, yeah. We've pounded on that message throughout the offseason, and it's one of the reasons this team has built, slowly built, and methodically built and played above where its talent says it should have played year after year in the Sean McDermott era is because – he gives guys what they earn and nothing more, nothing less. So if Isaiah McKenzie, and the reason he's out there is because he continues to do things in practice and to be a part of the team that they warrant gets the opportunities he gets. When that changes, you can bet the snap counts will change, but not until they do.
He's experienced this under the McDermott regime already.
Right.
Last year he got benched as the return man in favor of Marquez Stevenson, a fifth-round draft choice.
Right.
He's facing the same thing again in the slot. Is a fifth-round draft choice going to replace him now at the slot receiver position? It could happen if he doesn't bounce back from, I think, what even he would consider a down performance last week.
Yeah, it was
for him.
It was hit and miss last week. The catch in the end zone that he dropped on the fourth down, I'm surprised it didn't pull it in. He lost his footing, and it didn't look good. It was a missed play. That and trying to get him the football during the on the down and distance as well. He couldn't get it done. It wasn't a great game offensively for the Bills, because, and you can tell that just by, you know, the score on the board, let alone the play by play description of who played well on what play.
And Khalil Shakir did get more time on the field last week, even with Isaiah McKenzie healthy. He obviously played that role in week 5 against the Steelers. He was on the field a little bit more. They rotated their receivers through a lot more last week. Hodgins got some run. Shakir got some run. It's going to be very interesting to see where that rotation goes heading into the second half of the
Shakir's
season.
Shakir's got 17 catches on the year. So, you know, you can do the math. He's averaging under 2 a game. You'd like to have more out of
McKenzie,
that. McKenzie is.
You need more production.
I think he'd say this last game. And I'll say this, too. I don't want to go.
And he did miss a game.
Yeah, he was out for a game. And I don't know that he was 100% going into this game. Certainly, you need to be 100% because he was out with a concussion. He was in the protocols. I don't know how that affected his ability to prepare to play well. And if that's an issue, you can say, okay, he's something to consider. He's going to be in for better days going forward after he gets the concussion further and further in the rearview mirror as well.
Break time for us here, but we'll be taking more of your phone calls on the other side when we come back. What have we learned about the Bills through the first 6 weeks of this season? You let us know at 803-0550. Got an open line for you there, or on the tweet sheet at One Bills Live. We're back in a moment. All right, welcome back to One Bills Live. Going to get right to the phones where we're asking you, what have we learned about the Bills through the first 6 weeks of the season? You tell us at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We lead off with Alex, who's over the state line in Pennsylvania. What do you got for us, Alex?
Is Josh Allen, with the hurdle on the Chiefs game, is Josh Allen the best quarterback you ever seen in Bills history?
In Bills history.
Well, you put him in a conversation with Jim.
Jim's pretty dang good. And he's in the Hall of Fame.
He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. You know what? If it makes you hesitate, I guess he's in the conversation. Yeah. I mean, he's in a conversation with one other guy.
I mean, even Jim has said, this guy's going to break all my records.
He's got to do it for a long time before he's in there with Jim. But, yeah, the way he plays, I don't think the Bills have ever had a quarterback play like he plays, running the football and throwing it and all of that. So, as productive and putting together a whole career, certainly Josh has a ways to go to catch Jim. But playing the way he plays, nobody's ever done that. And that's not just in the Bills. That's in a ton of teams.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's one of the two best quarterbacks in football right now.
He's playing – he's got this – I always thought he was like a little bit like John Elway, big, strong, athletic. That's who he reminded me of. Elway didn't run like Josh runs.
Elway ran, but he didn't look like that.
He didn't run like Josh. Yeah, Josh is up there in the all-time greats right now, the way he's playing. Now, here's the thing. He's got to do it for another
longevity.
6 or 7, 7 or 8, 10 years.
Longevity is the key.
That's the difference. But, yeah, he's in the conversation for playing as good a football as any quarterback's ever played at this stretch. So, I'll say it's in the conversation, but, you know, Jim did it for a much, much longer time.
Right. Not to mention in the USFL for a couple of years. With some ridiculous stats there. Ridiculous stats.
Yeah.
You ever see that program they did on the Gamblers LA Express game between him and Steve Young?
I heard about it. I never watched it.
First of all, it was an unbelievable game. But look it up on YouTube. Maybe you can find it there. It was a treat, man.
Yeah.
Watching that, like, they had a lot of highlights from the game, number one. I think they each threw for like 6 touchdowns. They were both over 400 yards passing. It was a track meet.
Yeah.
With 2 Hall of Famers.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of NFL players after the league folded
a bunch of those laundry lists.
Yeah, a laundry list of guys who came back over to the National Football League and started playing, had really nice careers. So, yeah.
The coolest thing, though, about that whole thing that I remember from that, I don't even know if I should call it a documentary, whatever it was. It was a
30 for 30 or something.
Yeah, it was something like that. The coolest thing was Jim says, in sitting in the chair during the interview, and he said, or maybe it was Steve Young. Steve Young says, every time I see Jim Kelly, that is the first thing we talk about. That game. Every time. Every time I see him, that's the first thing we talk about. And I'm just like, that's got to be pretty damn cool. Like, you got a fellow Hall of Famer you competed against, and it was a barn burner of a game, and it was that memorable for both of you, despite having storied career. Every time you see Steve Young, that's the first thing I think that's so cool.
It's one of those games. Now, and they had another, you know, Jim had another one of those with Joe Montana in San Francisco.
Yeah, the no punt game.
The no punt game. When there was 1,100 yards offense in that. That thing, I was there,
ridiculous
man.
Number.
I had great seats for that when I was standing right next to Marv. And it was unbelievable. Now, there were turnovers in that game by both guys. But I remember this, too. It was the happiest. I was part of the kneel down, the victory formation. We won that game 34-32 or something like that, 34-3, whatever. And I was in the victory formation. We were out in the huddle getting ready to kneel down for the last time. And, you know, I was never in the huddle, right? I was a kick cutter at this point. I never played wide out. And I was in there, and I'll never forget how excited and how thrilled the off, like Kent Hull, Will Wolford, Jim.
They're all giddy.
They were giddy. We couldn't believe we went out into that place and beat those. Because those guys were good.
They were the standard. They had already won their four Super Bowls.
We went to their place and lit them up 34-31 and beat them. And we're kneeling down at the end of the game. I'll never forget how excited the great players on that Bills team were in that huddle just to have beaten that team. It was fun.
That was awesome.
Yeah, those games, they do stick with you. Like, you know, Jim and Steve Young, that would stick with you.
Yeah. Let's go back to the phones and to Dave in Florida next. What do you got for us, Dave? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, how you guys doing today? Listen, I just got a question about Gillingham.
Yeah.
I think this guy could be used more so. I think he's a great blocker, number one. I think he can receive the ball on a, you know, screenplay. And I also believe he could be, you know, I don't see him that often on the field.
Well, actually, he's been on the field quite a bit the last couple of weeks. They went 21 personnel in that game early. I chart the play. So let me just run it. First two plays from scrimmage, he's on the field. They threw it to him on the first play of the game, lost a yard out in the flat. Second play of the game, they threw it to Gabe Davis, but he's on the field in 21 personnel. They ran four of the first five plays, 21 personnel they came out in. And they did that all through the first half. Now his time on the field in the second half dwindled, a little less 21 personnel, more 11. They love Reggie Gilliam. He just signed a 3-year extension at the beginning of the year. He's going to be around. And they like his versatility when they go 21. Because as you said, Dan, he can block. He's more athletic than I think he gets credit for. His touchdown against Tennessee in week two, that was pretty special. He had to make a guy miss. Mm-hmm. You know, the timing of that screenplay was all messed up. And he made it work anyway.
Yeah,
he scored a touchdown.
He broke a tackle and got the outside. And I get it, too. I mean, and I'm not belittling what Dan said. I'm just saying everybody has their favorite guy they like to see play more. Gillian is that for a lot of people. But when you put him on the field, the question is this: who are you taking off? Uh-huh. And what's it mean when you do? That's the only question there is.
Yeah, it's usually a receiver.
Yeah, it's got to be. It's going to be Isaiah McKenzie or Khalil Shakir. The slot receiver, you're not taking Davis or Diggs off the field on that. I mean, certainly they could be rotated through and doing some other stuff, but, you know, when you put Reggie Gilliam on, it's not a big deal. Well, who are you taking off? Are you going to take Knox off and, you know, sacrifice whatever that is in the running game or his route running ability? So that's always, you know, that's always what you're asking. They like Reggie Gilliam. They got some package of plays in for him. They threw him the first pass of the game, all that stuff. But somebody was on the sidelines, and he replaced somebody. Who that is has a lot to do with why he's not out there more.
Yeah. But I think they are going to use him more and more as the season wears on. They like that 21 personnel set, and they will use it. It's clear to me, at least through the first six games, they believe in it. Mm-hmm. Not as, hey, this is our bread and butter, but they like it. They like that personnel grouping. And I think I would expect them to run even more variations off it going forward. We'll wait and see. Let's go to Butch on the east side. What do you got for us, Butch? You're on One Bills Live.
First of all, I want to say thank you so much, Steve, Chris, to One Bills Live, WGFM. You know, I love you, and I've always do.
Oh, thank no, you. We just lost him. He just completely dropped off. I did not do anything.
He was pumping our tires, and you cut him off.
No, I didn't. I didn't even touch anything.
Okay. That was our guy's back. Okay.
All right. Sorry about that, Butch.
Butch. That was our best call of the day, and we snapped him off. Butch, I'm sorry.
He got clipped. I don't know what happened there. All right. We got to take a break here, but we'll take more of your phone calls when we come back.
I want to listen to what Butch has to say.
What have we learned about the Bills through the first 6 weeks of this season? You can tell us at 803-0550. We'll try to get Butch back on when we return here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. All right, welcome back to One Bills Live. We got to get back to the phones. We have got to tell you, though, about Snapdragon Apples. They're back! Fuel your game day adventures with Snapdragon Apples, now available at Wegmans. Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of your Buffalo Bills. All right, now we can get to the phones, and we can reconnect with Butch on the east side. I don't know what happened, Butch. It wasn't me.
That's okay, man. Listen, first of all, Steve, Chris, One Bills Live family, WGRFM, you know I love you guys. You guys are my family. I want to really talk about a few things, and out of respect, I'm not going to be long-winded with it. First of all, let's talk about what have we learned so far about our team. This I'm going to say this. Steve, a long time ago when you was a seventh-round pick coming in NFL, you was hungry when you came out of the college you went to and the high school you went to. You knew you can play, but you had to get on the field and actually get your opportunity and your reps to actually prove to your coach, general manager, the ownership or whatever team you was in Houston before you came to Buffalo. And you actually did it. But so you had your mindset of that you can play. Today's kids now, I want to look at Evan, who answered the phone. Evan told me his age. And before Evan was born, we used to always talk Brownie when you was building the Bills Digest. You already was hungry, Brownie, of what you had to do. You was writing, doing your homework. Now look at you in the studios now. These young kids, the process, when Brandon Bean first came, he had to gut this football team. He had to do something like John Butler had to do back in the day. Start building from the draft, make a couple trades, add a couple players, and move forward. Right now, with this team that we have, the process is what we're looking at now. The process of drafting our players, signing our own players, building up. You haven't seen anything yet. We're not going to slot Josh Allen and all these other players and rank them with Kelly and all. Because you know why? We're not finished yet. This year, reality, we're supposed to be on our second chip. We were supposed to win last year and won a chip if we'd have played Cincinnati and Buffalo and played the Rams. But now we are. So right now, we're going to enjoy the process. The reason I use Evan, for example, Evan's 23 and he's already ready to run a studio at his age. You understand me? Back in the days, young kids wasn't ready like that. These players coming out. This is why I don't be surprised when I see all these rookies starting in the NFL. They're coming in ready because the process of how they're being trained and how ready they are. So let's enjoy that. So I just wanted to say that point to y'all. And this last point about OBJ coming to Buffalo, put that on hold. Right now, we already have a process, as I'm speaking of players that's already been developed that's ready to get opportunities. We can slide Steph Diggs in the slot if you really want to. And you can put Isaiah Hodges on the outside or Shakir on the outside and keep it moving. Now, back to my man, Isaiah McKenzie. Now, thanks for taking my call. And Steve, Chris, you guys been around a long time. These young kids really don't understand about shell shock. When Jack Tatum and George Atkinson was playing, Steve, you remember this, I think. You might have been young, but you remember this. When you take that hit coming across, and Steve, you know, I saw you get knocked out a couple times. You start thinking about them two steps when somebody throw it across the middle. I think Isaiah McKenzie is going to have to sit for a minute to get his mindset straight because right now he's shell-shocked. And I think in crucial situations like we saw in Kansas City, when we need that play, I'm not confident right now Isaiah is not. So I will do that. But anyway, thanks so much for taking my call. I love each and every one of you. And y'all have a great day, and y'all take care.
Thanks, right, Butch.
Thanks, Butch. Appreciate the call.
It was a great call. A lot in there. The mindset, you're right. It is part of the thing, and we talk about it all the time. We had a conversation on it earlier in the show that these guys get on the field because they earn it on the field.
Yeah.
Guys like James Cook, who has been limited so far in the first six games of the season. We haven't seen him, you know, a couple of reps a game. That's it.
Yep.
People are clamoring for more of him. Khalil Shakir got on the field a little bit due to injury. Now he's back off, you know, and Isaiah McKenzie got kind of plugged in. Now, he did get a couple of reps, but, you know, some people are clamoring, and we're all curious to see how they'll play when they get more opportunities. It doesn't happen until they earn it, until they work for it, until they, you know, prove that they deserve it.
The number one quality
it's amazing.
That any coach looks for in a player is the ability to trust them on the field. Can I trust you to execute?
Right.
No matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, no matter the atmosphere. And if you can convince your coach that he can trust you, you're going to be on the field.
Yeah.
That's how you earn time on the field. Be so good in practice, every single snap, that he has no choice but to trust you and believe in you. Because that's what coaches want out on the field. They don't want to put guys out there who are like, well, I wonder if I'm going to get what I need out of him today. They right. want to know. And if they know, you'll be on the field. It's as simple as that. And that's from youth sports all the way up to pro. It doesn't change. Coaches want to know they can trust you out on the field.
Yeah, and at the pro level, sometimes they get sidetracked by the amount of – and you've seen this in the past, although you haven't seen it in Buffalo since being in McDermott.
Not here.
Where a guy will be making a big contract and he plays no matter what. Or
high draft choice,
plays no matter what. None of that stuff matters.
Didn't matter
and
here.
And it's proven time and time again, most notably this year when Christian Benford ends up being the starting corner opposite Dane Jackson.
As a sixth-round draft choice.
As a sixth-round draft pick for a team who had in the same draft class a first-round draft pick. You don't see that happen. And that is a strong, clear, unmistakable message about the process. And it cannot be ignored. And no message plays as loud and clear as that message.
Let's squeeze one in before the break. Here we go to Ray in Rochester next. What do you got for us, Ray? You're on Bills Live.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
What have I learned a third of the way through the season? Three quick things. One, what you were just referencing with Benford, or someone talked about Gilliam or Hodgins. One thing I've learned is, wow, we haven't had this much depth in so long.
It's a deep team.
I went to my first game in 1963, and I'm still sort of shocked that, wait, the Bills are, you know, so that's great. Second thing is I've learned is, boy, has Josh learned to throw a beautiful deep ball. Remember when that was a problem? And the last thing is, I'm a little worried, and I want your guys' thoughts about strategic football at the end of a game when there's a minute or less left. I know it's been rehearsed already about what happened at the end of the first half on Sunday, an exact repetition of the last game last year. You know, our DB faded to the outside, so the Kansas City receiver couldn't run out of bounds and stop the clock, so they just threw for 20 yards slightly inside, then quick 10 yards to Kelsey. That's exactly what happened last time.
Yeah.
Right. And I agree with the guy yesterday, because I thought of this, you know, at the end of last year. Why didn't they assign someone, at least just to Kelsey, follow him down the line at the snap of the ball, just hold him, you know, 5 yards and 5 seconds and do it again. Yeah, that's all you have to do. But the third thing is, related to that, is I'm worried about the strategy that we might lose a playoff game or a Super Bowl by 3 points because of it. The end of the Baltimore game. There's been a lot of, you know, high-fiving about how they handled the end of that game. Remember, they ran it down to, what, 3 seconds or 2 seconds or something?
Yeah,
they
right.
kicked the field goal.
Yeah, right.
Did not score the touchdown on purpose.
Yeah, but, oh, my God, it's basic. You don't do that. You run it down to, like, 10 seconds because they still had a timeout. If the kick's blocked, you get a timeout, you try again. Oh dear!
Well, if the kick's blocked,
you have to come down with it and possess it.
Correct.
And
which
if there's
possible.
A and the
I think Ray's arguing he just wanted a little more time left on the clock, so if your kick did get blocked and you can recover it or something.
If you bobbled the snap,
they did kick it on third down, but they waited until there were 3 seconds left to call timeout. So it basically gave them one shot to kick it. Now it's a 21-yard field goal. I mean, in essence, Ray, I understand what your point is there. Like, leave yourself enough time to kick it again, but it's a 21-yard field goal, and you got one of the most accurate kickers in football, right?
Yeah. I get that.
It's a little bit of splitting hairs for me.
But as long as – if you're going to go up by three to do that, you're leaving them a chance. You're leaving them a chance to win the game.
Yeah.
When you don't have to. You're putting pressure on yourself to make a kick, but that's going to be there anyway.
Right. And it's 21 yards.
That's right.
It's a 21-yard field goal.
I'll say this. Last night,
that's a gimme.
I'll say this. Last night, the Denver Broncos made a buffoon of a mistake as well. They got it. The Chargers have a kicker who can hardly kick because he hurt himself. He's been gutting it out. I call a very late timeout. Let him kick it once. See if he can hurt himself even further before I let him kick it for real. They didn't. They didn't ice the guy with a timeout left.
Yeah.
Huge mistake. Huge mistake.
Break time for us here. When we return, we're going to be joined by the Hall of Famer, Thurman Thomas, coming in, as he does on Tuesdays, to talk Bills. We'll find out what he feels he has learned about this team through the first 6 weeks of the season. It's Thurman coming up next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
Hour number two here on a Tuesday where it is raining cats and dogs in Orchard Park. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you, and the Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas joining us. How you doing, Thurm?
I'm doing great, man.
Congratulations. We saw your lovely wife putting stuff out on Instagram. You guys are expecting twin grandbabies? Is this true?
Yes, this is very true. Very
you
true.
You guys are taking after the Taskers now. What the heck's going on over there?
Well, we're getting ready to have four by next May. I mean, he's already at seven.
Well, that's why I said,
well,
you're not far behind.
Yeah, two or three kids that
three
haven't,
kids
even,
haven't started yet.
Haven't even started yet.
Yeah,
so,
we're going to lap you, bro. But congratulations.
That's great, though. That's great.
Thanks. Awesome.
Thanks.
I appreciate it. Yeah, Angel and Matt, they're going to be great parents. Great parents.
We've had some calls in the first hour, so I want to dovetail off of what they've been talking about with respect to Buffalo's personnel usage and some of the stuff we saw up front on the O-line this past week against Kansas City, Thurm. 21 personnel with Reggie Gilliam.
Yep.
It's clear that Ken Dorsey likes that personnel grouping because he's used it almost every single week.
Yep.
And they signed Reggie to a contract extension right before the year, three-year extension. He's part of the plan going forward here. So just first, your early thoughts on their usage of 21 personnel and some of the things they're able to do with that might be not your mom and dad's 21 personnel.
Right, right.
It's a little more advanced now with as athletic as Reggie is, right?
Right, exactly. And he takes it even farther. But if you look at around the league over the last, 15, 20 years, nobody pays attention to the fullback. Nobody, I mean, Reggie Gilliam can probably have as many touchdowns as Butch Rowe had. Catching 10 passes down on the goal line, 10 touchdowns. They never covered a fullback in the flat. They haven't covered him for 35 years since I've been watching football. He's always open all the time. But him being athletic as he is, he's a threat on the field.
And he can block.
He can block.
We've seen that.
Yeah, he can block.
Here's the question, though, and I brought this up just a minute ago. Somebody's got to come off the field.
Well, it's usually a receiver.
Who do you take off the field? I mean,
you're going to have Diggs and Gabe out there, right?
Yeah.
And Knox. That's it. I mean,
you're good.
I think you're still good.
Right.
You still have weapons.
Yeah.
I mean, you You take Gilliam off the field and put a wide receiver. I mean, it's just I'm looking at this offense and I'm just really liking how everybody's involved. Obviously, you're going to have games where Diggs is going to have 10, 9, 10, 11 mm-hmm. catches or whatever.
Right.
But, I mean, on like this top week. Side of that, you know, you're going to have Gabe Davis catching 2 or 3 touchdowns. Now I give my hat off to this Ken Dorsey and his offensive group. They've done a great job the first 6 games of just mixing everything. Now you just can't look at the 11 person. You got to look at it all now.
Yeah.
You got to look at it all.
Right. More to prepare for.
More to prepare for. And I think that's what kind of like Ken Dorsey, no, he's put his stamp on there. I mean, that Reggie Gillen at this point has probably played more this year than he did all last year.
I would say yes.
Right?
If I had to guess, yes.
So he sees something in that, and I love it that he's mixing it up.
How do you think, and if you think in the future and what teams are looking at, they're saying, okay, we got to practice against all this. How does that manifest itself on the field down the road when all these teams are preparing for all this and then you get them with what you're really going to do? How does that – I mean, what's that look like? And what gains can we, just as observers, get? Because I know Ken Dorsey's up there trying to figure out how he's going to get an edge down the road as well.
Right.
So he's got, you know, Gilliam coming on the field. He's playing mm-hmm. him a certain percentage. These guys a certain percentage. Why? What do they expect to get out of those analytics?
I think if you have him on the football field, obviously you're going to have more film to watch him. But you know what? It's a long season. Coming off the bye week, I don't know what we might see. We might not even see Reggie Gilliam anymore. I don't know.
Right.
But that's the element of surprise. Like, okay, you maybe not see him for a couple of games, and boom, there he is. That can be very in a very important game down the stretch. And teams will probably look at that and be like, oh, they've been doing this so much, and they focus in on what they're doing, and all of a sudden Gilliam comes out there, and they be like, oh, what was this? Where did this come from? We haven't seen this in the last 4 or 5 games.
Yeah. Are we treating this guy as a running back or a tight end?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's I love what he's doing once again. And, continue to do whatever. He's done everything right.
What do you think is the biggest thing that you learned about this team through the first 6 games? This version of this Bills team, what stands out to you through the first 6 weeks that you said, you know what, I really hadn't had them pegged to be this.
I really didn't, especially with, like, all the injuries that they've had. Yeah. I'm not even giving it to the players. It's the scouting department and Brandon Bean and what he has done to bring mm-hmm. all these guys in. And I think I maybe said that last week or 2 weeks ago. Those guys have been very instrumental of what they're doing right now. As much as I want Micah Hyde to be out there, mm-hmm. Obviously with the neck injury, he's not been able to perform. You know what, I wouldn't say we're better, but we're right on the cusp of that.
So it's, he Ross, played, it's the depth of the team.
It's the
that's
depth
impressive.
Of the team, exactly. Yeah. I mean, just think about this. If you're the Bills right now and Von Miller, let's say you don't want him to get hurt, but somebody's going to step up. They right. have stepped up. And now to come in this week with the bye week, everybody's getting healthy. Oh, my God, we're going to have Trey White back. Right. I mean,
yeah, but I'll say this.
It makes this team so much stronger. And now that these guys are getting healthier, I mean, Jordan Phillips is probably loving, like, okay, I get a week to rest this hamstring right now.
Yeah, and I get that too, but there's no guarantees that we don't have another 2 weeks like we did between, you know, Miami and Tennessee, where you got 19 guys, you know, seven guys going down again.
That's an extreme case.
But you never know. Right, it is. But it happens.
Twice in a season? Probably.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, think about – I mean, you've seen other teams have it.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm just saying you can't predict the future.
Yeah.
But even so, you're right. I mean, you feel like, oh, okay, just go back, plug the guy back in. Let's go. What about the way this season rolls now? It's kind of – we were having this conversation. It looked like the first 7 games of the season through week 8, because we had a bye this week,
right.
through the Green Bay game.
Looked like a bear.
We were looking like, okay, just come out here 4-3.
I know.
Right?
I think we
just
were.
Just come out
yeah.
4-3. You know, 5-2 would be awesome.
Right. Yes.
Well, here they sit at 6-1. And now you're looking, it's like, well, you know, the rest of the schedule isn't really a gimme.
The Jets aren't a gimme. They got a top-10 defense.
Right. The Jets look – now the Jets look
good.
They
got a top-10 defense there.
Right. So the point is, you know, we thought the last 10 games or 11 games of the season were going to be, all right, we're all right. We're going to go 10-0, just finish it up. But the Jets look different.
The Browns are still talented. The Patriots, they're gonna cheat and steal one from us somehow, some way. all of that. So, and we got the Bengals late
on Monday night on the road.
So
we got 11 games left.
Yes, the Vikings look like a really rough game.
Nine
out of the 10 after the
nine Virginia. Out of 11. Yeah,
nine out of the 11.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Okay.
Do you think we go 7-1 with the Packers this next 2 weeks?
Oh yeah.
All right, so we're going to go.
The Packers are a mess.
So we're going to go 15-2. The Packers are a mess. So we're going 15-2.
14-3.
Yeah, because you got one loss on the record already. And Thurm just said 9-2 down the stretch.
All right.
14-3, number one seed by a couple of games.
All right.
There you go.
All right, I'll sign up for that.
And
do you have I'll allow it.
And the Bills get their third MVP guy of the season, Josh Allen.
Right. Okay.
There you go. I got it all mapped out.
Apparently.
Apparently.
I've been thinking about this for a while.
Thanks for stopping by and letting us know.
Yeah. got Miss Cleo over here.
Because you know what? I mean, this is a really, really good football team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't make a lot of mistakes. Yeah.
They overcome some things, too.
Yeah, they've overcome some every single game that they play.
I'm not talking about injuries. I'm talking about, like, bad penalties.
Yes.
They have turned the ball over.
Turned the ball over some.
They're up near the top of the league in turnovers. Yeah. They got to clean that up.
But, hey, I'm taking my chances with this team.
I
can tell you that right now. Yeah. Because they can score 30.
Have you watched any of the Eagles, Thurm? I really haven't watched a whole lot, but they are – they're like plus 12 in the turnover margin. They're running the hell out of the ball.
Yeah.
They're throwing the heck out of the ball. Maybe not throwing out of the ball.
See, that's where you separate the difference right there.
He's got six passing touchdowns, Jalen.
Somebody was saying that to me the other day. He got six passing touchdowns. Now, you're going to have to get at least four or five when you play us. Mm-hmm. It's just how it is. And,
I haven't seen enough of them yet to know exactly what they are, but they're the number three.
You know what?
The number three offense in football, the number four defense in football, fourth in scoring, sixth in points allowed.
I haven't seen a lot of anything in the National Football League because I pretty much basically watch the Bills, and pretty much that'll be it. And the rest will be highlights.
Thurm's got Bills myopia.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The strength, and even the Bills at 5-1, the strength of victory wins.
We're
5 points.
It's up there.
The teams they've beaten have a winning record.
Right.
Philly, it's less than 500. It's 4.457. So
they're also in the NFC East.
They're in the NFC East. But I'll say,
Dallas
NFC
is a good team. Giants,
the Giants
good.
Are 5-1.
Washington's
and Dallas
the dog.
They got three teams in the NFC, in the NFC East.
Yeah.
Three of those teams are in the playoff hunt right now. They're in the playoffs, if it's, you know what I mean? So they're at the top of the NFC, all three of them. So it's been a tough – all of a sudden it's a tough division to win, which – it wasn't for a long time. I don't know how good the Giants really are, but they're not beating themselves.
They are not.
No.
They are not.
And it's with that NFC right here. It's probably going to stay right there. When you get down here to like 8-9, Green Bay and Atlanta,
name one of those teams that you think is going to jump up there.
Right. Yeah, no, I don't
Seattle,
look at any of those teams.
See, I get it. Seattle 3-3, Atlanta 3-3, Green Bay 3-3. All right, okay. Have. Green Bay, maybe because they got Aaron. And maybe they'll figure something out and find somebody who they can start winning some games with. And they are still in a division with Chicago and Detroit. Forget about Minnesota. Chicago and Detroit are horrible.
Minnesota is an enigma.
Yeah.
Because I looked a little closer at their game last week against the Dolphins, which they won.
Yeah.
Got a defensive touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
They win 24-16.
Yeah.
They punted 10 times in that game.
Well, they don't turn it over, obviously.
I mean, but that's a lot of punts.
Ten times.
That's a lot of punts.
I got to look it up again and make sure I have it right.
Hunter got dehydrated.
Right, yeah. I mean.
Yeah,
and
maybe.
This is a team who runs the ball, too, with Delvin
Cook. They are throwing a little more with their new head coach. So there's that. But, let me make sure. I want to make sure I have this right. But I thought that's what I saw. Punting. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Oh, no, he did. 10 punts.
Oh, my goodness.
10 punts. So, Steve, they win the game 24-16 against a backup quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater, who filled in for the third stringer, who went out with an injury. And I looked at their possessions, okay? I'm like, why? What the heck are they doing, punting 10 times?
Yeah.
I'm not joking. I'm not joking. 10, three and outs. So they didn't just punt 10 times. They had 10 three and outs. That team's 5-1.
No, yeah. the Vikings punted. They had punt. Oh, this is.
They
punted 10. Wow. 10 three and outs.
10 three and outs, and they won by 8.
Oh, man. You know what? I'm going to go stand in line for a beer.
I don't know if that says less about the Vikings offense or less about how bad the Dolphins might be.
If you're watching a team go 10-3 and outs, man, I am going for a beer, and I'm going to stand there and scroll through social media while I'm in line.
Check my fantasy team.
It couldn't even break it up and go for it on fourth down.
Well, now you know why. Now you know why.
Yeah, right.
But now you know why they had enough time in the game to punt it 10 times. They kept going three and out.
I'm sick of it. Let's just go for it. It's fourth and 10. I don't care. We'll just cross them up.
This is our ninth putt. I think we need to go for it.
Oh, my gosh.
They
10, three and out.
So their only touchdown came when they got down to Miami 1 yard line, pounded
that in. They were 2 of 12 on third down.
Steve, that
how do they score 16 points?
How are they 5-1?
Yes. How are they?
I mean, I get it. Miami's got a good, pretty good defensive group, but 10 three and outs. Oh my gosh!
I mean, I'm gonna
as
put
a punt gunner, I would be
Steve,
like, dude.
To put it in perspective, do you remember the awful 2009 game here between the Browns and the? And the Bills, 6-3?
6-3 game?
There were 16 total punts in that game.
This one
Minnesota had 10 by themselves.
Yeah, and there Miami
16,
had 6.
Yeah, there were 16 in that game.
Wow. And there's 16 in this game.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Is that unbelievable?
The Vikings had 11 first downs.
I feel a whole lot better about the Vikings game now. It's like,
the
5-1 team.
Had 11 first downs. The Dolphins had 23.
23 first downs, and Vikings had 11.
How did they win that game?
I don't know. Well,
they had a defensive touchdown. And then they had one offensive touchdown.
Come on now. All right. So what else?
Did they block a punt?
I think that was the defensive touchdown.
Yeah.
I don't know. And
there was no defensive touchdown.
Oh, what were they celebrating? It was an interception, but they didn't take it back.
Yeah, they didn't take it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Miami missed a field goal, and they did have 3 takeaways, a fumble recovery, and 2 interceptions. Of course, what did they do with those? They got 3 points out of 3 takeaways. The other 2, surprise, surprise, they punted.
Mm. Man, oh, man.
And here's the other thing, too. We talk about the law of averages all the time in the NFL. You remember all those close games Minnesota lost last year, and they missed the playoffs
because of it.
This year, they're winning all those games. So they beat the Lions by 4, the Saints by 3, the Bears by 7, and then the Dolphins by 8 yesterday. Those are the 4 of their 5 wins are by 1 score. So they're winning all those 1 score games that they were losing last year, and they're 5-1.
Yeah. And the Bills at one point were, what did you say, 0-8 in 1 score games?
0-7. Yeah, they thought that's
they've won their last 2.
How do they have a better?
Well, they have the same record.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're talking about this because, you know, the Vikings are coming here.
Yeah,
and
in the second half.
In the second half of the season.
November 13th, week 10.
And they, you know, they're 4-1 right now.
5-1.
5-1 right now, just like the Bills are. And you're thinking, okay, that may be one of the games that at the beginning of the year we thought, nah, that's a win for the Bills. And you think, maybe not. And then you look at it, it's like, yeah, you need to beat those jokers.
Well, if they punt 10 times, we are beating them.
Yeah, that's true.
Our offense
is not punting at 10 times.
Right. No. So looking at the teams
they're
that they've played
10 times in 6 games.
Looking at the teams that they've played, I don't think any of them are over 500 right now. Green Bay, Detroit, New Orleans, Chicago, Miami. Those are their 5 wins. The one loss to Philadelphia, 24-7. They weren't even in the game.
They weren't even in the game.
So when they got to play top tier, they have a problem.
Well, that's when Kirk Cousins becomes Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. I think he threw for 170 yards in that game that they beat the Dolphins. Yeah. Threw for like 170 yards.
How healthy are we going to be next game?
Really healthy.
Really healthy, right?
The team's going to be healthy.
Steve and I were knocking this around on the podcast, Thurm, because people are wondering, like, When do they activate Trey White? We know that they have to make a decision by November 1st. That's the last day that he can be practicing and still on reserve PUP. They have to make a decision, you know, when they're going to activate him. Do you think he's on the active roster and dresses for the Packers game in week 8 coming out of the bye?
Oh, man, that's a tough one.
That's just a day or two before the game. I thought no. I thought they might activate him, but they won't play him. And I think the first time we'll see him will be the next game against the Jets.
He thinks Jets. I think he's active and on the 53-man roster. I don't think he starts, but I think he plays against the Packers. I think they put him on like a pitch count kind of thing.
You think so?
What do you think?
I think they'll ease him back into it. Yeah, I think that's a good call by Brownie. I think they bring him
back.
They
wait
a little slow because.
What do you think, Thurm? You know. That's why we're asking. What do you think? Think they wait?
I'm gonna say that they're gonna wait.
I mean, they don't have to rush it.
They don't have to rush it, but
because the defense playing good,
they're playing well.
Winning games.
Green Bay is coming here. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have any wide receivers.
Well, that's why I thought
they
might
play. They got a running game. And
put him out there against some rookies.
You're right. Put him out there against the rookies, but it's just another week to get him healthier. And just like what Jordan Poyer didn't play the Pittsburgh game.
Yeah.
Just got him rest, you know?
They don't need to rush him. You're right about that.
And I know he's anxious to get out there.
Oh, yeah. He's got to be climbing
the
walls.
You know this guy here. I saw him the day of going to get his surgery. He had to fly somewhere, and I was on the same flight as he was. And you can just see, like I can't believe this happened to me. This is because it's almost like he never been hurt before, right. Which I think that might have been a part of it. He had not missed a game in his career.
Right.
And you're talking about college, too. And so I know he's anxious to get back out there, but, I mean.
So your money's on waiting another week.
Waiting another week.
So what do you think? Week 9, the Jets game?
Week 9, Jets game. Jets game. Yep. Obviously, yep. I go to Jets game.
All right.
So who does Green Bay play before? Or do they have a bye?
They play.
Because they could come in here 3-5 unless they play the Bears or somebody.
The Commanders. They play Washington this week.
Okay. So they're 4-3.
Yeah, but we don't want
them to. Get them a little healthy. Yeah. Give them a little confidence or whatever.
Make them feel better about
it. Make them feel better and come here and see what it's going to be like.
Kaiser.
What is it, Sunday night game?
It is Sunday night.
Sunday night game, so yeah,
prime time.
A little prime time.
I was getting a little nostalgic there. I thought, you introduce the defense, Sunday night football. You save Trey for last. He comes out last, and you know, like that whole. Maybe not.
It's all marketing.
Maybe I went too Hollywood on my prediction.
See, you don't want. See, you don't want to see. You want the. This is great because the Packers are going to beat the stew out of the Washington Commanders, and that won't give.
They're going to think everything's okay.
Yeah, they have 2 straight losses right now, so you don't want them coming in with a 3 straight.
Yeah, because then they might actually play
then
desperate.
They might play hard. So, not that I can play hard.
Might play hard.
Who's a Commanders QB?
Taylor Heinicke is going to be playing
quarterback. Oh, he's not.
Carson, he's a little moxie.
Where's the game? Green Bay or Minnesota?
It's Washington. It is at Washington.
Oh, okay. I mean.
Yeah, the old raucous crowd in Washington. All
30,000
of them.
There's
too many things going on with the Commanders.
They got some issues.
I mean, some issues on and off the field. It's just not good.
But anyway.
And you just think about it. Back in the day, this is one of the modeled franchises.
Yes.
When Joe Gibbs was there.
Yeah, they were always competitive.
Always competitive. Always. And now it's just been totally flipped upside down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And we can all have our laundry list of reasons why, because there are several.
There are several. But a long list.
We'll let that sit where it sits because something tells me the league will be taking care of that. Actually, the owners are meeting today in New York, and there are rumblings that might be discussed among smaller breakout groups, you know, what to do with Snyder. So,
That's
a lot.
I really wonder where that goes, though, guys, because there've got to be some owner, because first of all, you got to get 24 out of 32 owners to vote that way, and they're not voting on anything like that on Snyder at the meetings this weekend, but I imagine there'll be some discussions. Do you think there are some owners that would worry that it would set a bad precedent? Like, oh man, if they can bounce this guy, you know, what skeletons do I have in my closet? Right. Like, could they bounce me too? I wonder if there's some of that at play there too. Well, and we saw the story last week that was talking about how He's got secrets on owners, and I've done private I got private investigators following Goodell around, you know, to try to have dirt on him. And I'm going to out everybody if you get rid of me, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
Do we buy that, or is that just bluster?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, if you're the kind of guy that would say that, you're probably the kind of guy that would pull the trigger if you wanted to. I mean, you know what I mean? And launches a campaign of that nature.
If you're threatening to fight dirty, that means you're prepared to fight dirty.
Yeah, it means it's in your DNA. I would think, and if
he's doing
he
that,
might not.
It'll be 31 guys vote him out.
Well,
maybe.
I've never heard good things about him. So
yeah, I mean, so his reputation is what it is. I mean, I don't know the man.
Reputation is what
I don't
it
know
is.
The man.
I don't know the man. I've met him once.
The only thing I know is that he rules with an iron fist down there.
Yeah,
and anybody, and here's a funny story. Van Miller took full advantage of that. So Van and Murph are trying to get into the stadium close enough because Van was getting older, you know, and he can't walk far. And the media parking that you get is like a mile from the stadium. So Van's like, we got to get closer.
It's a bad scene.
So he's telling Murph, pull right up here to this guy at the gate. Pull right up to the front. And Murph's like, all right, it's not where we're supposed to park, but okay. Right. Pulls up. They roll down the window. And, you know, Van just turns on the charm. And he said, and if you have a problem with me parking here, you can tell Mr. Snyder that you didn't let me park here, and he can take care of it. And the guy's like, okay, go ahead. Go right there. Go
right. Man.
Worked like a charm.
It worked like a charm.
Just throwing the name out there.
Parking right in front.
Right this way.
What'd you say your name was? Mr. Miller right here, right? Park right here. He's a classic.
That is the best.
Whoa. Therm, thanks for stopping in, man.
All right, man.
Appreciate it.
Enjoy your bye week.
Yes.
You too.
We will. You too.
You too.
You doing anything special?
Nah.
No, just kicking back and
just kicking back
watching college football and hope you can get
not
a good
even
NFL.
Watching, not
even Cowboys
college
doing?
Football.
How the Cowboys doing?
They just lost to TCU last week.
Oh.
It's a good team, though.
TCU's a good team. Yeah, they dropped from 8th to 11th.
They'll be all right.
Yeah, they'll be all right.
Pokes, man.
Who they got next?
I don't know. I won't know until
Oklahoma
Saturday.
State.
When it shows up on my television.
Die hard, man. Wow.
Kickoff. Oh, okay.
Yeah, let me see if that's on. Are we getting that game? All right, Thurman, thanks. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right, bro. Appreciate
that's Thurman Thomas, the Hall of Famer here with us on One Bills Live. We'll take a break, take more of your phone calls when we return. We'll see you in 2 minutes. The Buffalo Bills and Ad Pro Sports are teaming up to award varsity head football coaches with the Coach of the Week Award. Week 7 winners in Buffalo Region Section 6. It's Maryvale head coach Nick Todaro. After he led his Flyers to a 35-19 win over Olean last week, Maryvale clinched the B2 division regular season title with the win and improved to an undefeated 7-0 in Section 5. Rochester Region Coach of the Week is Monroe High School's Terrell Cunningham. His team defeated the number 8 ranked Class B team HFL 26-7, giving them their first loss of the season. Each Coach of the Week winner gets a $1,000 grant from the Buffalo Bills and Ad Pro Sports. Good job, coaches. We got to get back to the phones as we've been asking you today, what have we learned about the Bills through the first 6 weeks of the season? You let us know at 803-0550. We go to a patiently waiting Elton in Rochester. What do you got for us, Elton? You're on One Bills Live. Elton, are you talking to us or you're talking to somebody else?
Talking to somebody else.
Hello?
Hey, what do you got for us? You're on the air.
Sorry. How are you guys? I'm so sorry.
Please, you're all right. I know. You've been waiting a while. We get it.
Yeah. I have a question for you, Brownie, and you too, Steve. I've been hearing a lot of things, and I know we've been playing some really great football. But I wonder Graham hasn't been that good, even though Motor had a good game Sunday. But I've been hearing some talks about a trade, maybe possibly Carolina for McCaffrey and maybe James Cook involved with a second rounder and a fifth rounder this year or some other stuff. Is that possible or is it just a rumor?
I think it's just a rumor. And certainly anything's possible, but I don't know that they are willing to – Now, I like Christian McCaffrey. He's a great player, no question about it. He's been a little bit fragile over the last couple of years. He's making a big amount of money. I think the fact that his contract is structured right now so that it would be advantageous
to get him if you can get him. But a last report I heard was that Carolina was looking for literally I heard this over the airwaves. Carolina's looking for multiple first-round draft picks for Christian McCaffrey, and that is an absolute positive non-starter for me if I'm any kind of – if I'm a team. So he is in a position contract-wise to be attractive because you can get out of the contract at the end of the year and you can rent him for like maybe $600,000 or $700,000, $800,000. But he's such a good player that, you know, Carolina's not going to let him go for anything less than a king's ransom, it seems like, at the at this point.
The troubling thing for me is I'm not paying for a soon-to-be 27-year-old running back who played in three games in 2020, seven games in 2021, and thus far he's played in six. You know, he's been okay this year, although he had a thigh issue but played. The injury history bothers me a lot, especially at the biggest collision position in the sport, which is running back. So I would have issues with that. And so to give up an enormous amount of capital, whether it's in the draft or players, not to mention the financial commitment the next year, even though it is base salary, I don't know. I don't know if I can get there. First of all, this team doesn't run the ball enough to justify having a premier back in the first place. Yes, he's a fantastic receiver out of the backfield, so maybe you could deploy him in that fashion and be better there because he runs like a 4.38. But I don't know that you need to. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that it's worth
– especially when they're asking for what they're supposedly asking for.
It's like with every transaction of this nature. What do you got to give up? What do you got to give up? The Bills gave up a lot to get Steph Diggs. Worth it? Probably so, yeah. What about Christian McCaffrey? You going to give up two ones and a two and a three or whatever it is? I'm thinking no, not for a running back for a team that you throw the football in. You say, yeah, well, he catches the ball. Yeah, okay.
But how many catches is he making with Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, Dawson Knox on your team? Is he catching three balls a game? Four?
Yeah, I just don't think there's room enough in this offense
to maximize what he does.
Yeah. And this window here in Buffalo is going to stay open because they refurbish it every year. Every year. There's a long list of guys that are not going to be a Buffalo Bill next year, at least contractually. Their contracts are up at the end of this year. Big-time contributors. They're going to refurbish it again, and it's that way every year. That's the way the Bills have done it. They find the guys they want in the league and entice them to come to Buffalo, and it's become a destination. Some of it's because of Josh. A lot of it's because of McDermott and the program they've got here and the process they run. So you don't want to give up chances to bring new players in as draft picks thinking you're going to get more out of Christian McCaffrey than – everybody else out there is available, or anybody else, any combination of guys on your roster right now.
Yeah. And, you know, Odell Beckham is another name that's getting thrown around a lot. Steve and I are discussing that on our latest podcast, Bills by the Numbers, which should be out on Thursday. So you want to check that out as well, because that's another guy out there in the mix. Now, he's different. He's a free agent. All you got to do is sign him to a contract. You don't have to part with any roster capital, draft capital, or anything like that. It's just money. It's a business transaction. What's the likelihood of that? We'll have to wait and see. So, yeah, I wouldn't rule it out. You don't know who's going to pick up the phone and call Brandon Bean. Maybe he tells him something he likes to hear.
Right.
And he pulls the trigger on something. We don't know. I would never rule it out. Brandon Bean, if he can find a way to upgrade his roster and not compromise, you know, the future.
And the future and all that.
He'll pull the trigger.
Now, they did it for Steph Diggs, but it has not – and I think they'd take that deal again, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely would.
All right, there you have it.
There it is.
Yeah, there's rumors like that. We won't know until it happens. And, you know, the Panthers want to move Christian McCaffrey, but they don't want to move him that bad if they're asking that price.
Yeah. Back to the phones and to Dan in Angola. What do you got for us, Dan?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Getting back to the Miami Heat. in Minnesota, for Minnesota sidelines, it was 120. The Miami sidelines was 90 degrees. Is there some rule that they cannot have a canopy or some kind of shade over on the visitor sideline?
You got to do it manually and hold it up like a canopy and that kind of thing. Yeah, and
that's what the Bills did.
You can't have a permanent structure. Like, you can't bring one with you and erect it, because it gets in the way of the stands and their ability to view the game. So if you're going to do it, you have to have guys just holding, like, sunscreens.
Yeah, that's what the Bills did. That's what the Bills did. They had some of their staff,
but they didn't have enough of them, obviously.
Yeah. So it's tough. I get it. I've talked about this with a couple people in the building. We've had conversations like, what could the league do to fix that? Because it's a problem. I mean, 90 degrees on one sideline, 120 on the other. I mean, 120. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. The World Cup was awarded to Qatar, or Qatar, depending on how you want to pronounce the country. And the World Cup's usually played in June and July. The full month of June and the first week in July. Can't do that in Qatar. Why? Because it's 120 degrees on the field. Guys would die playing for 90 minutes nonstop. They would die on the field. So they moved the tournament to the fall. The biggest tournament in the entire world moved to the fall because it wasn't safe for the players. What's an easy fix for Dolphins games at home in September and October? Move it to 425. All home games for the Miami Dolphins in September and October are played at 425 p.m. It's too hot. You're going to cause a problem. There's going to be a problem. You're going to have a real problem at some point if this keeps up. We know the earth isn't getting any cooler. We got climate change happening. It's not going to get any cooler in September and October in Miami.
Right. And
it's not happening.
We got to make sure that we get
start the game at 425.
Our football games in before we.
I talked to Greg Rousseau about this. That's what they did at University of Miami. Yeah. They don't play home games at 1 o'clock. They play at 425 or at night on Saturdays. The Dolphins should do the same thing. It's just safer for everybody. They're going to claim advantage and all that, and okay, we're nicking them on it.
Well, here's the reason it seems unfair in Miami. When you come to Buffalo and it's cold on the and it's a big home field advantage. Well, it's just as cold for the Bills players as it is for Miami players. It's not the same in Miami Stadium because it's 120 degrees on one side of the field and 90 degrees on the other. So it's 30 degrees difference. That's an advantage that is not present on a cold day. So you can bet it'll be brought up. Whether they'll do anything remains to be seen. And whether a team can take full advantage of the technology they have at their disposal, or they have to do it only as much as the home team does, that kind of thing. Because the Miami Dolphins didn't do anything. They just sat in the shade. They have all these coolers and these misters and all of the stuff that they can do, and these air conditioning units that can push cold air through benches, all of that stuff. And if the Dolphins don't do it, they don't have to let the other team do it. And it's 30 degrees colder over there. They don't have to do it, so they don't.
Yeah. Break time for us here. Steve and I will try to check the tweet sheet real quick when we come back here on One Bills Live. All right, lightning quick round on the tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems. What have we learned about the Bills through the first 6 weeks of the season? Nick says that we truly have a top defense. Jeremy says we are learning that the money spent on defense has been worth every single penny paid. Jack says that the team has that dog in them. He thinks that the coaching's been spectacular, especially on D. Frazier is going to get a head coaching gig in February. Chris, that they have very good depth. JT, Vaughn is a game changer. Josh says, I've learned a few things. Edmund and Poyer's next contracts continue to get more expensive. Shakir and Cook need to be on the field more. Keep the foot on the pedal at Super Bowl or bust. And J.A. says, super impressed with the depth and coaching in respect to the defensive backfield. There's also one bit of news that has come out of the owners' meetings. We know that Amazon Prime signed up to get the Thursday Night Football package in the hopes of eventually getting a Black Friday game to jumpstart their e-commerce. They will have a Black Friday game next year on November 24th.
Exclusively streamed.
Steve's back tomorrow. Maddie's filling in for me. We'll see you at 1:00.